When he arrived, he saw Yudhisthira Maharaj consulting his assembly of ministers, friends, and family members. The subject matter was how to bring Krishna back to Hastinapur. When they saw Narada, immediately they got up and they offered him greetings. They offered him a seat. They offered their prostrated obeisances. They wanted to do puja for him, but Narada Muni took the puja tray and offered puja to all the Pandavas, singing their glories. After he did arti to all the Pandavas, he did it to all their friends, their servants, and their maidservants. Then he started playing his veena and dancing. You are the most fortunate persons on all the earth. Krishna is your dearest friend. He's your worshipable God. He's your guru. He's your cousin. He's your messenger. He's your charioteer. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the greatest of rishis, sages, and demigods, for them it is very, very difficult to realize Krishna. Krishna's expansions, Narasingha Dev, Vamana Dev, Ramchandra, Kurma Avatar, Matsya Avatar, Varaha Avatar, they are all just plenary portions or portions of the portions of the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. Material nature is just an insignificant maidservant of Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma, when there was a great burden of calamities on earth, he went to the ocean of milk to pray for Krishna's mercy upon all living beings. And Garga Muni, during the name-giving ceremony in Gokul, he revealed who Krishna really is. He's the original source of Lord Narayan. He's the ultimate creator, maintainer, and destroyer of all that exists. He's the master of Vaikuntha. Krishna is so merciful. He has done what no other incarnation has done. Not only does he kill the demons, but everyone that he killed, except a few for confidential reasons, he gave them liberation. And not only that, to some of the demons that Krishna killed, even though they were envious, terrible, rakshasas and rakshashis, he elevated them to the status of being his eternal associates in the spiritual world. In Kurukshetra, during the solar eclipse, Vishvamitra Muni, Vishishta Muni, Gautam Rishi, they all approached Krishna and begged him that we have so much knowledge. We have acquired great powers from our tapasya, but we are begging you, with all humility of our command, let us be your devotees. Grant us pure devotional service, because that is the only benediction that is eternal. And Krishna gave them the benediction of bhakti. In Vrindavan, even the plants, the trees, the creepers, all of these immovable objects travel various place after place in ecstasy due to receiving the mercy of Krishna. Krishna's beauty cannot be described. When Kamsa was fighting against Krishna, what mercy Krishna gave him. Kamsa died with Krishna's lotus foot on his chest and his beautiful moon-like face right before his eyes.
Chanura and Mushtika,
these two terrible rakshasa wrestlers. Their aim was to break every bone in Krishna and Balaram's body and rip them to pieces. But Krishna and Balaram, so kind and loving, during the course of wrestling, they embraced Chanura and Mushtika. The same way they would embrace the gopas when they wrestle them. And after Krishna killed Chanura and Mushtika, as well as Kamsa, he personally performed the last rites for their funeral. No other Lord, in no other incarnation, in no other place, have given such mercy to demons. Jarasandha, such a wicked person. But when Krishna went there to beg for a fight with Bhima, Krishna extolled the glories of Jarasandha as being a true patron and servant of Brahminical culture. And he will always be known for that. Putana came in disguise of a woman to deceive Krishna, to feed her poisoned breast with the sole purpose of killing him. But what Lord is so merciful that to such a criminal he elevated her to the status of being his personal mother in the role of a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan and the spiritual world. Kaliya. Krishna danced on his hoods with his own lotus feet, the same lotus feet that it takes millions of years of tapasya to even get a glimpse of. Even great, great acharyas, they are praying and longing for one grain of a speck of dust from his feet. And this wicked serpent who came to kill the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Krishna danced on all of his hoods. The twin Arjuna trees, they got to see the beautiful childhood pastimes of Krishna in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Now we know that prasad is none different than Krishna. And if you eat prasad, you're actually taking Krishna into your mouth through his mercy. Prasada means mercy. The mercy of Krishna is none different than Krishna. Narada Muni, in his ecstasies, he was remembering Agasura. He really ate prasad. Krishna entered right into his mouth with all of his friends, walked right into his belly. What mercy. What other incarnation has given such kindness for the purification of a demon? And when Krishna wanted to punish the gopis by separating himself from them, that separation only served to unlimitedly increase the ecstasy of their love. As Narada Muni was speaking, he started glorifying his own tongue for speaking these words. He proposed to his tongue, "O tongue, go on speaking the glories of the Pandavas. Go on speaking." He said, "Kunti Devi, the mother of Pandavas, she accepted the great burden of taking care of you when you were little children. But she was ecstatic because she knew that you were so very dear to Lord Krishna. After Krishna coronated you as king, he wanted to leave for Dwarka. But the power of Kunti Devi's love, she begged for him to stay. And Krishna could not refuse. He changed all of his plans and remained in Hastinapur just to please the heart of Mother Kunti. Krishna glorified Yudhisthira Maharaj by making him the king of the world, Dharmaraj, the very emblem of the highest religious principles. He glorified Bhima by arranging for him to be the one that killed Jarasandha. Krishna glorified Arjuna, his dearest friend. He glorified Nakula and Sahadev by showing the world their simple, sweet, unmotivated love. In fact, it was Nakula and Sahadev that specifically chose that Krishna be the one that be worshipped first before the Rajasuya Yajna. Maharaj Yudhisthira approached Krishna for the purpose of this Rajasuya Yajna only so he could show the world that when you're a devotee of Krishna and Krishna's on your side, you will be victorious. Maharaj Yudhisthira specifically conducted this Rajasuya Yajna for a very special purpose. Do you know what you have to do before you can do a Rajasuya Yajna? You have to be the unparalleled emperor of the entire planet. If there's anyone who's not willing to accept you in that role, you cannot do the yajna. You have to fight all opposition and defeat them. Plus, it takes such immense amounts of wealth. Maharaj Yudhisthira, by the arrangements of his messengers, he happened to find, left behind from long ago, an entire mountain made of gold. That's what was required, just as part of the necessities for the paraphernalia of a Rajasuya Yajna. It took Maharaj Yudhisthira years and years and years to arrange for this yajna. And all of his brothers faithfully served him. For what purpose? Maharaj Yudhisthira told Krishna, "The only reason I want to perform this yajna is before the yajna, we will worship you first. And then the whole world will know your glories, that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you are the worshipable master of everyone." Otherwise, he had no concern with being king or any other achievement. He just wanted to give the world an appreciation of the glories of Krishna. As Narada Muni was speaking these glorifications, he just couldn't stop his tongue from vibrating. And he was encouraging, "Go on, tongue, go on, go on." Draupadi, what kind of a devotee is she that at the Rajasuya Yajna, Krishna personally consecrated her hair? When Durvas Muni came to Kamyavan with 60,000 followers, Draupadi had no food to feed them. And her special mystic pot was no longer active that day because she already ate from it. It was a great embarrassment. Durvas Muni is quite famous for his
anger.
Hare Krishna.
And Yudhisthira Maharaj will never go against a great sage. So Draupadi and Pandavas were very much worried. We will make offense to a great soul. He's coming to our home. We have nothing to feed him. What to speak of his 60,000 followers? So just to stall things, they said, please go take your bath and come back and we'll have nice prasad for you. Draupadi was praying, Krishna save us. Please, Krishna save us. And as she was calling out Krishna's name, Krishna appeared. When you have this kind of devotion, Krishna appears in his name. He said, oh, Draupadi, I'm very hungry. Do you have some prasad for me? Draupadi was thinking, oh, no. First we're about to make aparad to Durvas Muni. Now we're going to make aparad to Krishna. We have nothing to serve Krishna. Krishna said, let me see this pot. He saw one little speck of prasad in the corner of the pot, and he ate it. When he ate it, the whole universe became completely satisfied. Even the demigods, they were wondering why they're so full. And Durvas Muni and his 60,000 followers in Jamuna, they were belching. What is this? They were thinking, Yudhisthira Maharaj, he's such a king, he's going to make such an incredible feast. And if we can't eat it, that's going to be an offense to Yudhisthira Maharaj. Meanwhile, nobody knew what was happening in the Pandava's ranks. Krishna told Bhima, now take your club along with you and tell Durvas Muni, prasad is ready. Bhima, Yudhisthira, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, Draupadi, Krishna, there's no prasad. You just do what I say. So they went. Bhima came with his club and said, called out, prasad is ready. And Durvas Muni, and he said, Bhima, very angry with his club, if we offend Draupadi, we know what happens when people offend Draupadi. Then we don't know what will happen to us. So they all ran away as fast as they could. Narada Muni explained that during the gambling match, Dushasana, on the order of Duryodhana, was to put Draupadi to shame by forcibly tearing her clothes from her body. Nobody could help Draupadi. She tried to hold the sari herself, but she was no match against this great kshatriya. At that time, she raised her arms and very loudly cried out the holy name. Krishna incarnated in the most incredible form of a sari. And because Krishna is unlimited, the sari was unlimited. Dushasana pulled and pulled and pulled, and he was pulling it off. But however much he pulled off, it was still on her. Until he had to surrender. Narada Muni said that when Krishna came, to Hastinapur, Duryodhana, wanting to create a situation where Krishna felt obliged due to indebtedness to help him, he had a royal reception for Krishna. Singers, dancers, entertainers, and the most incredibly delicious, opulent feast. But Krishna did not even enter into the decorated palace of Duryodhana. Rather, he went to the little, simple hermitage of Vidura to take the simplest possible food that was all that Vidura had to offer. Some people say that all he had was a banana. But they were so nervous, Vidura and his wife, they peeled the banana, threw the banana out, and gave Krishna the peel. And he ate it like nectar, because it was coming from the loving hands of his devotee. He preferred that than the sumptuous feast prepared by Duryodhana. Why did Krishna show this favor to Vidura? Because he was a well-wisher and friend of the Pandavas. Bhishma was laying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra for many, many weeks after the battle was finished. He was all alone. He refused to die without the darshan of his beloved Lord Sri Krishna. Krishna personally went with the Pandavas all the way from Hastinapur to Kurukshetra. There Krishna had Bhishmadev speak the philosophy to Yudhisthira. Krishna could not pacify Yudhisthira. By his own sweet will, he wanted his devotee Bhishma to do what he could not do. And when Bhishma was leaving this world, Krishna stood before him, giving his most sacred darshan. Bhishma Dev was weeping and crying in ecstasy, surrendering his life and soul at the feet of Krishna. And in that sweet mood of pure love, he gave up his life and returned to the spiritual world. Why did Krishna give this ultimate mercy to Bhishma? Because he was always the friend and well-wisher of the Pandavas. Prahlad Maharaj, he was only able to bring Bali Maharaj, his grandson, to pure devotional service with him. And Hanuman, he had no family members, so he was alone. But you Pandavas, your whole family is devotees, pure devotees, and your servants and your ministers and your cousins and your uncles, so many of them, you have given them all Krishna's grace. There is no one who is a greater recipient of Krishna's mercy than you. Krishna has declared that whoever is a friend of the Pandavas is my friend, and whoever is an enemy of the Pandavas is my enemy. The Pandavas are my very life heirs. I descended only for their sake. Narada was playing his veena and singing the glories of the Pandavas to the Pandavas with such life. Yudhisthira Maharaj, hearing this for some time, was completely silent with his head in his hands. Then he let out a painful sigh. He put his head down in terrible embarrassment. Yudhisthira Maharaj then spoke. Lord Hari has shown no mercy to me. With my mind, when I try to think of some mercy that the Lord has given me, I cannot remember anything. A devotee of the Lord is meant to serve the mission of the Lord, to attract people to the service of the Lord. But if any materialistic person hears about the endless calamities and tragedies that took place in our life, they will lose all faith in Krishna, and they will have no inclination to serve Krishna. I don't mind any of the calamities that have happened, but it brings terrible sorrow to my heart to think how it will affect the people in general. When Krishna accepted our worship at the Rajasuya Yajna, he did not do it out of love or affection for us. He did it just to show the importance of performing yajna. He didn't do it for us. I am like a fish. Krishna is like water. Without the association and presence of Krishna, we are simply dying. I want to tell you, O great and most venerable of all sages, Narada, I was happier struggling in the forest, meeting Krishna on a regular basis, than living without Krishna in this terrible kingdom in separation. It was our fault that great persons like Drona, Bhishma, and Abhimanyu were killed. In their absence, we are deprived. We can feel no happiness. Since after a long, long time, Krishna has not come to visit us in Hastinapur. He has coronated us as kings. He has helped annihilate all of our enemies. Now everything's so nice, he never comes anymore. Every now and then he may come for some specific business. The Yadavas alone are the true recipients of Krishna's mercy, because they are living always with him in the great city of Dwarka. You say, Narada, that Krishna was our charioteer, our messenger, our servant, but he did that only to absolve his debts to us. And now that those debts are absolved, he has nothing to do with us anymore. You say we have received his mercy? I can think of no mercy. Then Bhima spoke. His heart was just wrenched in separation from Krishna. He spoke in a very loud voice that Krishna is the source of all illusion. He has deceived us. He has left us in separation. He gave us this throne, giving us the illusion that this was his benediction to us. But we find that this throne is simply a curse. Parikshit Maharaj then said to Uttara, his mother, "At this time, my grandfather, Arjuna, spoke." Arjuna was sighing again and again and again, bitter tears flowing from his lotus-like eyes. Arjuna said that Krishna's mercy upon us only fills my heart with sorrow. Let me explain, O Narada. A devotee's heart is to give pleasure to Krishna, to praise the glories of Krishna. But Krishna's mercy on me, first of all, he vowed to not fight in Kurukshetra. But out of his mercy, he broke his vow. How much pain that causes to my heart. Rather, I would have died if I had the choice. And when Bhishma attacked me to kill me, I was ready for death. But Krishna picked up the chariot wheel and attacked Bhishma, who was shooting him with arrows. Krishna's body was bleeding. That is mercy. The thought of such mercy only breaks my heart. Of course, we know that Bhishma was shooting those arrows in pure affection. And Krishna was experiencing those arrows with the same pleasure as a devotee throwing flower petals on his body. Arjuna, he said, I cannot remove this arrow of grief in my heart of all I put Krishna through in my life. I refused to follow his order and fight against Drona, Bhishma, and others in Kurukshetra. It is because of my insubordination Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. When I remember the words of Gita, I have to remember that it was due to my unwillingness to serve him according to his desire that he had to speak this Gita. And what was the result of his speaking of the Gita? He convinced me to fight, and then we fought, and by his grace we won the war, and now we're living in this kingdom of Hastinapur, and he's left us in separation. When I think of Gita, it only brings me terrible sorrow. At that time, Nakula and Sahadev spoke. They were crying. Where is Krishna? Krishna saved us from so many dangers. Krishna annihilated our enemies. Krishna expanded our fame throughout the planet, but this is not his mercy. His mercy was when he allowed us to have festivals and yajnas to worship him as our worshipable Lord and glorify his qualities to the world. That was his mercy. But now he's left us. He's gone away. He never returns. He's cheated us. How will we continue to live? Draupadi then came forward to speak. Draupadi was in such sorrow, thinking of Krishna's separation, that she was choking. She said, Krishna, save me from danger. He saved me from shame. My father, my brother, my sons, they all fell dead on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Lord Krishna personally sat beside me and consoled me with sweet words and a charming smile. But now, all I have left is misfortune. Because he has gone away, he no longer comes. How can I think that he has shown us mercy? Kunti Devi then expressed her heart to Narada Muni. I have no husband. My children were tiny. Krishna protected them. Through all terrible, terrible circumstances that we were put through, Krishna always came personally to fill our hearts with love for him. In fact, Narada, Krishna showed more special mercy to me than he did even to his own mother, Devaki. But now the thought of mercy never enters my mind. I only hear the widows mourning for the loss of their husbands in that great battle. Now we are deprived of Krishna's presence. I begged Krishna. I helplessly begged him, please, Krishna, please, take away all our wealth. Cast us in all sorts of terrible calamities. Take away everything from us so that we have nothing left but the remembrance of your mercy. And we have no other shelter than your holy name. But what did Krishna do in reply? He gave us this wretched kingdom and then abandoned us to go to Dwarka. I have given up hope that he will ever return. Now I think that his real mercy will be my quick death. O Narada, go and see the Yadavas. They are the most beloved. They live in a vast ocean of joy in the company of Krishna. Associate with them, and you will become ecstatic like them. But if you stay here and associate with us, you will be dragged down to our miserable condition. Upon hearing this, Narada Muni very blissfully went on his journey to Dwarka. Today we heard the story of the sorrow of devotees. But we should understand this sorrow is the highest expression of love. Example is given that when you take ice and put it on your body, it's so cold that it feels hot. Have you ever done that? There's some particular type of ice that's called hot ice, dry ice. It literally smokes. It's so cold. And if you touch it, you get burnt. In fact, you'll even get big burn marks on your hand by touching it, because it's so cold. So similarly, when our mind is absorbed in loving feelings toward Krishna, the pain of separation actually gives us the ultimate joy. The greater the misery, the deeper the ecstasy. This can only be understood by people who have received the mercy of the Lord. When we hear about Prahlad, Hanumanji, the Pandavas, what is their feelings of sorrow in the absence of Krishna? Narada Muni could understand that they are experiencing the most sublime experience of the treasure of divine love. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the safest and greatest way to advance in Krishna consciousness is to cultivate the mood of separation, to long for Krishna's mercy, to long for the association of his devotees, and to literally cry out for Krishna in that sweet spirit of separation as we chant his holy name. Tomorrow we will continue the final installment of our feeble, insignificant attempt to speak from Srimad Brihad Bhagavatamrita.